back to Sportsnet Today with Julian McKenzie on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to Sportsnet Today. I'm Julian McKenzie. Shan Virgie, who normally hangs out in the production side of the studio, is in studio and he's chopping it up with me. We also have Cam Hughes and Connor
Ronstall.
Yeah, I still gotta get the last name down. Sorry, Connor. It's not that I don't like you. I actually like you. It's just I'm not as familiar with your last name. I haven't hung out with you enough. Anyway, Sportsnet Today, we're into hour two of our great show. We had Scott Wheeler in hour one. We played some audio from the Flames, who are in St. Louis tonight to play against the St. Louis Blues. You can listen to that game at 6 o'clock here on Sportsnet 960. After our show is done, we are going to Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg. Who's Logan Gordon? Who is that?
Is he related to the guy Logo that works here?
Oh, right.
Must be a fill-in or something.
Yeah, that guy. Any relation to Flash? Like the fast guy?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. Well, they are hosting Flames Talk at 3 o'clock. Then they're going into the pregame show at 5, and then at 6 o'clock, puck drop between the Flames and the Blues. Anyway, it's 2 o'clock. We are moments away from first pitch between the Jays and the Rays. You can watch that on Sportsnet. And we don't have a show on Friday. So that means we have to move Friday DMs to Thriday DMs.
Who still uses that old mailbox? Time to bring it into the 21st century. Your burning questions answered on the Thursday DMs.
Thursdays, yeah.
That's what it is.
That's well done. That's
great.
Very well done.
This is the segment we do on Fridays. We've moved it to Thursdays. Well, this Thursday, we take questions from the text line at 960-960. They can be about anything and everything. If you want to ask our opinions on food, if you want our opinions on who the Flames should take in the draft this year, Dustin Wolf, off-season plans, off-season vacation plans, yep. Ask away, and we will try our absolute best to answer them. We'll go to the text line, which, if you want to participate, text us at 960-960. And we may get to your question.
We're going to start with our guy, Wedley in Bridalwood, as we almost always do.
What's good, Wedley?
Pretty good question today. Who would win a 40-yard blindfolded dash? Keyword, blindfolded dash between Cam, Shan, Julian, and Connor.
Blindfolded? So like 40-yard dash. I assume you're running in a straight line.
I would, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
How confident are you running blindfolded?
Pretty confident.
Okay.
I think I have a good shot. I think I'm winning.
Connor, Cam, your thoughts on this?
Excuse me. Oh, my goodness.
Whoa. You good, buddy?
That's my voice when I haven't talked on air.
I was about to say, like, the race hasn't even started and you're already choking. What is this?
I think it's going to be a two-legged race between Shan and Julian. I think I'm getting smoked.
Yeah. I love you, buddy. I don't think you're holding a candle to me.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Julian, are you really fast?
I wouldn't say I'm really fast. I'd say I'm quick.
Did you do track?
I did not do track.
I was a track guy, but I was a long distance track.
You're
guy.
A long distance track guy.
So like the 3K, that's, I mean, the 800, the 1500, the 3K.
Okay.
Those, but so I don't know what
you got a couple years on me. So I think like age might a
couple hundred. I'm sorry.
Oh, whoa.
I don't.
Okay.
That's
disrespectful here. Okay. I get it. I'm still in my late 20s. Okay. For a couple more days.
My bad.
Yeah.
A couple more days. And then it all. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop.
Okay. Yeah. Right. This is already a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to kick you out of the studio.
Thing is, blindfolded, I don't think I'd run very well.
Well, here's my whole thing. If you're running in a straight line, at least the way I imagine it, you just have to focus on running in that straight line. If you're doing the turn and you're trying to figure out where the turn is, then that could be very disastrous. But if you're running in a straight line and you have a sense of where the finish line is, I don't know. There has to be a measure of preparation.
Yeah.
Look, to answer the question, great question from Wedley,
mm-hmm.
I'm going up against me. It's me. I'm winning the race. It's got to be me.
Julian, I got the form, dude.
Okay, cool.
My track coach, I got the form.
You want a race? You want to go outside? You want to do it now?
Not really.
Okay, fair.
That doesn't sound
you want the smoke?
We can plan this one day. Maybe. I don't mind this idea.
Yeah, we just go out to maybe the hill behind Scotiabank.
Yeah.
Saddle down. Maybe not a hill.
Why are we doing hill sprints?
We don't have to do a hill sprint.
Blindfolded hill sprints? That
I don't know.
Awful.
I'm just trying to find
what if
a green...
I step on a branch and hurt my ankle?
I'm trying to find a green space where we can actually do this. Maybe not a hill. We can find a green space somewhere in the city. We can try this race out, see how a 40-yard dash would go. Cam, Connor, they can all involve themselves. Logo, yeah. Too, if he wants to.
We're late timekeeper.
We're on the train line. We can run in front of the train, see who survives.
Oh my God.
I love how Connor did not insert himself into
Connor,
anything.
Your thoughts?
Connor, do you think you have a chance in this?
Not at all.
Okay.
No, the only way I'm winning is if everyone blows their Achilles in the first meter.
And it's like not impossible.
Happen. That
maybe,
might happen.
Like someone could cramp up.
True.
Yeah.
True.
I don't know, man. Look, you can't this is not a show where you sell yourself short,
no.
Connor. You got to believe
right.
in
I'm
yourself, buddy.
It. You guys got me.
Okay.
Connor just completed a complete 180.
I'm getting on the HGH tonight.
No. Connor's the HGH. Anyway, I think I'd win. I like the fact that aside from Cam, everyone is confident enough in themselves to think they'd win.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm
a
realist.
Question. What can I say?
I'd be taking that. We'll move on. What is Julian's favorite pair of Jordans? That's TJ in the Northeast.
Ooh. I'm not a big Jordan guy, but one pair of shoes I've always wanted, and if I'm in a position where I could just throw money up in the air and just say, to hell with it, I'm just going to get it, and I can get my hands on the Nike Air Jordan, the three, the retros, the black cements.
Okay.
The Jordan 3 retro black cements. Yes, that's the only pair of Jordans I need. I've just, for whatever reason, since I was in high school, I've just been so enamored with that pair of shoes. I know it's not like the most like, that's not the most sexy Jordan. Or no, it's pretty up there, I think. But I think that would be fine for my collection. I'm more of an Air Max 90 guy. I'm tapping into Air Maxes and Air Max.
Okay.
It was Air Max Day the other day. I got a couple Air Maxes and stuff. Like that's what I'm really into. I'm not really a Jordan guy.
Okay, now this is going to answer a few people's questions.
Sure.
This one's coming from Veer.
Okay.
Curious what you guys think about the Flames taking Tej in the draft this year. Let's say they were selecting 7th or 8th and take him. Would that be a reach or not so far off from his projection? I know we just talked about it, but
yeah.
Still, like, you know, your thoughts on Tej.
I would think that's a reach, right? Considering what the talent looks like just above Tej. Look, I think his skill set is tantalizing enough that if the Flames end up with him, that's still pretty good. But ahead of some of the if he comes before some of the high quality defensemen in the draft, even some of the centers that are up there, I would have a lot of questions about why they would go so far as to take Tej. What I think would be a perfect storm scenario is if that second first round pick they have this year ends up being a mid first round pick. So like if Vancouver loses in the first round and they find themselves in a position where they can take Tej with that second first round pick, that would be a perfect first round as far as I'm concerned for Craig Conroy. You get a quality forward or a quality defenseman with your first pick, and then you could get Tej, who's still a quality player, with that second first round pick. You're laughing. I would be surprised if they reached for him if they were in the top 10, or even if they were down to like 11 or 12, like Tej would have to have had a really good end to his year, and something would have had to have happened to some of those prospects that at least we expect to be in that spot.
Now, TJ gave you some props for your Jordan pick, so you got points for that. The reason I say that this is not just one person asking this question, we have a few people in
yep.
a couple of different iterations of it. Talking about the current draft position, but this question from Todd says, will the expectations and pressure be too high for him to succeed if they do?
Well, I mean, look, you have the name of the greatest Calgary Flame who ever lived. I mean, argue if you want about if it's Jerome or Lanny. I'm on team Jerome. Jerome is the greatest Calgary Flame who ever played in the organization. Yeah, there's going to be expectations. And part of his evaluation process as a prospect in his development curve will be how he manages those expectations. But at the same time, he is who he is as a player. And I hope that, I mean, there's time for him to develop and maybe be better than what he's shown now. But like, I mean, I don't know if anyone's looking at, I hope no one looks at Tej and say he's a franchise savior, right? Because I don't know if he deserves that moniker. I think it would be a really good pick and it would bolster the forward core, But I think to go so far as to say, like, yeah, he's the guy. He is going to save this franchise. He is going to lead them to the promised land. We're all going to go on 17th and celebrate with the Stanley Cup, and he's going to be right there. Like, let's pump the brakes a little bit on the expectations.
And there's been a lot of talk about his youngest son, Joe Iginla.
Yeah, who, he's real good.
Yeah, and he's essentially broken some of, not that Iginla had these records, but he's got more points than Iginla had at that age in junior. But
yeah,
you look at Jerome's last year with Kamloops, 63 games, he had 63 goals and 73 assists. That's 136 points. It's ridiculous. And Tiger's last season with Kelowna, you know, 64 games, 47 goals and 37 assists. That's 84 points. It's still great. But to compare him to his father is just, it's not fair. I don't think it is fair at all.
But I'll say this, like, they're definitely, I'm sure Tej, and that goes to Joe too, and maybe Jay to a certain extent too, even though, you know, a bit of a different situation there, but like, they all feel that pressure. All those kids feel that pressure, having the name Iginla and trying to live up to their dad. Like, that's built in. And hey, if Tej ends up getting drafted by the Calgary Flames, that's a really cool story. We're all going to be all over that, whether you're writing, whether you're on radio, whether you're podcasting, whether you're TV, all of that stuff.
Imagine the jersey sales.
Dude.
I know.
Like, license to print money as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
I'll say this. If the Flames are in a position where they can take Tej and it's not a reach, you absolutely take him. But if there are some other stud prospects that are probably worth taking and they reach, say, like, they make him a top 10 pick, I don't know. That's a lot of invite some questions.
Now, this is not a question here. This is from Kelly. Maybe some advice for you, Julian. Julian, when you turn 30, you'll be rocking New Balance. Is that happening? And then at 40, Skechers, bud.
What does it say that I already rock New Balance?
I know that there's nothing wrong with that.
Maybe I think New Balance is a very good brand. I think New Balance is a real, like, in terms of my shoe rankings, like, Nike's number one for me. New Balance is number two. They make really comfortable shoes, but they're also really stylish. Like, I'm not at the point in my life where I'm wearing, like, the...
You're already off the deep end?
No. No. I'm not at the point where I'm wearing dad shoes in the yard, or like the Air Monarchs or whatever the
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the brand I'm thinking of. Yeah, like, I'm not wearing those shoes. Like, I'm wearing the cool, like, the 7-7, like, I forgot the name of the... Maybe I am showing my age. I'm trying to remember the numbers for the New Balance shoes.
770s? 774? Something like that?
I gotta Google
from
something.
From the 70s?
No, they're not from there. Are you like 25?
No, a little younger than that.
Yeah, no, but you're showing your age with the way that you act.
I'm saying you're talking about your time from the 70s.
I'm not. You're, shut up. I'm not from the 70s.
Okay, we'll move on. Frank and Chaparral, why does everyone think the Canucks will be a first round exit?
Because they've cooled off from what they were at the beginning of the year. They're not the same team. Even with the additions they've tried to make to incorporate to their lineup, like, they're not, I mean, they could still go far. They're still a really good team. They got some good players, but I don't know. There's just the way the second half of the season has gone for them. Plus, Thatcher Demko is just placed on LTIR. Mm-hmm. You'd have to hope he's back for the playoffs, but, like, this is a team that doesn't have that same... The aura around them is very different compared to what it was like at the beginning of the season. And I wonder how they'll stack up in the first round. What, they're likely going to play against who? Vegas or Nashville?
Yeah, Nashville's one of the hottest teams in the league
right now. Yeah, like, Andrew Burnett's probably getting Jack Adams votes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They've been really good.
He said, we're not going to the U2 concert, and then all of a sudden they have like a 16-game point streak, which is ridiculous.
This is crazy. Like, could you imagine? Like, that is the galvanizing point for your team. It's like, all right, we're not going to U2, and everyone, like, we're talking about Roman Josi getting Norris votes. And I mean, he probably still should get them anyway, but his candidacy for that award has, like, shot up in recent weeks because he's a huge reason why the Nashville Predators are in contention or in contention right now. Like, they're good. They're really good.
Yeah, I mean, him and Forsberg essentially dragging that team.
If I have it right now, Vancouver and Nashville would be the first round. Because Dallas, I'm trying to think, who... Dallas has the most points of anyone in the Western Conference, so they'd play Vegas. Ooh.
This is a question from me. Is Vegas the toughest wild card team you've seen in recent memory? Assuming they come back healthy.
I would think so. I've been on the train that says, hey, man, like, they are going to be a tough out, and I still think they're going to be a tough out. The thing now is, like, so many good teams in that West. You've seen how Colorado plays. You've seen the speed that they have. They look really good. Dallas, they have all those players. They're stacked. Winnipeg, they got the best goalie in the conference. They got the best goalie in the league right now.
They've been a mess lately, though.
Fair. Fair. They got to figure some stuff out. But there's a lot of good teams in that West.
But if Vegas
puts it together, I don't think anyone's beating them.
No. So then just another question, follow-up to that. With Vancouver and Winnipeg, who do you have more faith in for these playoffs?
Vancouver and Winnipeg. That's tough. Connor Hellebuck, goaltending gets you through, man. But you don't need the goalie. You don't need the goalie. You need a goalie.
Mm-hmm.
But also Thatcher Demko. I don't know offhand, but like, what is his health status going to be when the playoffs begin?
Yeah.
What is his situation going to be? Because if he's not 100% healthy, that really hurts. Really hurts the Vancouver Canucks. I might have to say Winnipeg for now.
Okay.
Only because, like, they might have the cleaner bill of health and goal right now.
This is a follow-up to this. This one just came in from Greg in Martindale. Wasn't Florida the toughest wildcard team in recent history?
I mean, they came out of nowhere and they got the job done. They went up against some real good teams. They beat the best regular season team ever. They knocked off a Leafs team, which, make all the jokes that you want, they have those top-end players. And then they beat a really good Carolina team that I thought at that point they'd be in for sure in the Stanley Cup final, considering how good defensively they were. They got beat.
They got smoked.
They got smoked in that series against Florida. And now look at the Panthers. They've turned themselves into maybe the team to beat in the Eastern Conference with respect to Boston and with respect to the Carolina Hurricanes and the Rangers. But the Florida Panthers might be the team to beat again.
They're a mean team. They are a mean team. And I guess part of what I was saying earlier, Florida, no one really expected them to go on that run. Like, yes,
no.
And you could see why they did after, because they had some serious gritty players and they had a lot of skill up front and they could put the puck in the net. And we saw that the takeover of Matthew Tkachuk in the playoffs, whatever. So it makes sense. But coming into that, you didn't expect Florida to beat Boston. No one did. And with this Vegas team coming into the playoffs, they could seriously, like, if they played Colorado, if they played Dallas, I don't care who they play in the first round, they could beat them and they could go on and win the Stanley Cup. And that's just an insane thing to see from a team that has a chance to not even make the playoffs. I know it's not likely, but they're not sitting pretty.
Mm-mm.
You know, coming down the stretch, they really have to win some games just to confirm they can make the playoffs. So that was part of it. But
all right. Next question here. For those trying to follow the Jays and Rays right now, in the bottom of the first, 1-0 Tampa Bay Rays off a Yandy Diaz solo shot.
I he's probably hit 1,000 home runs off the Jays solo shots Yandy Diaz has.
Well, he's got them up 1-0 right now, but Berrios is dealing. He just struck out Randy Arozarena.
Yeah, there's your Jays update. I'm really hoping we don't get a replay of last season where every game finished like 3-1.
I just hope that the Jays are able to convert with men on base, because that was a massive problem.
Oh, it was
last
so
year.
Hard to watch.
It was ridiculous last year.
It was painful. Like,
oh my God.
They'd have guys on first and third. They'd have bases loaded, and almost every single time with one out, it'd be a double play.
Yeah. So they need to fix that this year. Anyway.
Going back to the draft talk, there's no name on this, but could you see the Flames taking Carter Yakimchuk with the 8th to 10th pick? I mean, first of all, they have to get that pick first. It's still potential that they finish 11th or 12th or whatever.
Yeah.
But from 8 to 10, is that a guy you'd be looking for?
I mean, if it depends on where some of the other defense would have gone, like a Zeev Bouyim, as example, or Zane Parekh. It depends on where some of those other players are gone. And if a guy like a Konstas Hellenius is still out there, or a quality forward is still out there for them to take. I mean, I know I've been on record saying they should take the best forward prospect available. I'm willing to amend that and say, hey, man, best player available in that spot, because you need high-end talent to get you through your retool. So if Yakimchuk is the guy at that spot, you make sure that he is the best player available. And that might depend on where they're slotted in the draft, but you got to make sure he's the best player available. And I feel that same way about Tease as well.
This is from Wedley again. First of all, he said, for our race, we can use McMahon. He said Dave Dickinson will let us. So I guess we can plan that.
We'll get the phone call into Dave Dickinson.
Yeah, and we're going back to our shoe talk. Julian, thoughts on Crocs?
They're cool to wear in the house. I wouldn't wear them out the house.
Really?
I wore them out the house once as a kid. I don't think I've ever been roasted more ever in my life. Yeah, so my family, one summer, we went to Prince Edward Island. We like drove from Montreal. We drove to Prince Edward Island, and everyone was wearing Crocs. This was like 2006. Like this was, you might not have even been born then.
I was five.
Maybe. Yeah. So we were like, all right, we're all gonna get Crocs, and we all got our own pairs. And I remember I went out one day and I wore them, and all my friends were like, "What is this rubber on your feet, bro? Like, what is this? What are you wearing on your feet?" Like, I got roasted. And I never wore Crocs outside the house.
I had Batman Crocs, and I thought I was the coolest dude in the world. I was walking around with
yeah, like
Batman
little like
Crocs.
Giblets in the holes.
I had a couple of those. Yeah, I wish I had more. People have gotten creative with those.
Yeah,
you can put your own face on them now. You can do whatever you want.
I don't know if I want to put my own face on my own feet.
On your feet is a little weird.
Yeah. Feet are weird enough as.
Would
it
you
is.
Put a friend's face on your feet?
No.
Okay.
No.
No.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't do that. Not even like Logo's face. Anyway.
Oh,
yeah. No. Anyway, I believe, is that all the questions we got?
That's what we got.
Tapped in?
That's tapped
Thank
in.
You so much to everyone who participated in our Friday DMs. We had to do it today because we don't have a show tomorrow.
And we can do it because we're allowed to.
Yeah, that's very important. That's also important for our bosses because, you know, if they ask questions and stuff. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Adnan Virk from the MLB Network. It's opening day of the MLB season. We got to pick his brain about some teams, some storylines, and of course some movie stuff too. You are listening to Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Julian McKenzie. Shan Vergee is here. Cam is also here. Connor's also here in the production studio. Hope you're enjoying Sportsnet today. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet today with Julian McKenzie on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to Sportsnet today. I'm Julian McKenzie. For those who are trying to keep tabs on the Toronto Blue Jays, I believe they're about to start the bottom of the second. Jose Berríos still on deck, still 1-0 Tampa Bay off the Yandy Diaz solo shot in the first inning. Got a lot to get to with our next guest. He is from the MLB Network and the host of the CineFile podcast. He always talks to us on Thursday. Should be a busy day for him, but the fact that he's willing to carve out time for us today, man, thank you so much to our next guest, Adnan Virk. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, man. How are you doing?
J-Mac, of course, man. I was messing with Shannon. He's like, all right, what are we thinking? I said, well, we got the show. We were on from 1 to 4 Eastern MLB Network, and I actually need to go a little over because Jay's Rays, of course, at 4:10 and this update scheduling. He's there. All right, well, I go over tomorrow. Oh, good Friday. We're off. We'll get you next week. I don't know. Opening day, we got to talk. So thank you for getting me in here. We're taking a little break right now ourselves, and I'm sitting in my office watching this Dodgers-Cardinals game. I just saw Otani throwing it on the bases, but Dodgers up 2-0 here on MLB Network. So it's great to have baseball back, man. I'm sure you agree.
Well, obviously, yes. That actually answers the next question I had, which is, you get to be in the MLB Network studios. I've only visited once. It's an incredible studio. Yeah. The ball diamond that's there, amazing. I'm not gonna fanboy too much over that, or else we're gonna lose all the time we have. But Dodgers Cardinals, that was the easy pick for you to watch on day one. Any other matchups kind of tickle your fancy?
Yeah, no, it really is. By the way, thanks for the kudos in the studio. You're right. I mean, listen, I worked at ESPN, so I know a thing or two about top-notch studios. When I came here and I saw Studio 42, I'm like, wow, this is as good as it gets. This is even better in person. So We're honestly lucky to have facilities like these. And you know this working in the media. I mean, it's just great to have this kind of staff we have here. Everyone here loves space. Everybody's into it. It's a great team effort. But, yeah, as far as matches, my eyes immediately jumped out at that. I also was looking at the Rangers and the Cubs. First game, Craig Council's manager of the Cubs. They've got expectations around that team. They're giving a manager $40 million. And uncharted territory for the Rangers. They're now defending World Series champions. Had never won a World Series before. Mm-hmm. Nathan Eovaldi was big game Nate last offseason. So I was looking at that game, and then naturally Jay's Rays. You know, Berríos, I just hope he avoids the disaster, what happened 2 years ago, opening day. One out, gave up four runs. Jay's came back and won at 10-8. Historically, he's pitched well against Tampa Bay, especially last year. So Jays Rays, I'm curious about not only obviously the Toronto angle, but the Rays were one of the teams I visited spring training. So I think they're really under the radar, especially offensively. Yandy Diaz with a batting title a season ago. Zach Eflin, first career opening day start. This guy was 6th in Cy Young voting, so that's definitely a game I'm looking at. And then as far as just opening, you know, so much for me, Julian, is the pitchers. Zach Wheeler, who I think is as good as it gets in baseball, first opening day start for the Phillies because Aaron Nola had been the opening day guy for the last 6 years. And I am calling the Phillies, if not win the World Series, I think they're going to make it. Like, for all the talk around Dodgers and Braves, we have seen the playoffs becomes a crapshoot. I think Phillies are a pretty hungry team. So I'm really curious to see what the Phillies can do this season.
I would love to pick your brain more on the Phillies. Just, again, still 1-0 Tampa Bay up on Toronto. You mentioned Jose Berrios. He allowed Yandy Diaz, first guy he sees, hits a home run. He has settled down since as they're in the bottom of the second. What are your impressions of the Toronto Blue Jays and the staff that they have, the roster that they have, and where do you think they slot in the playoff picture? I've seen a lot of guys not really tack them as a playoff team this year.
No, I think that's what's fascinating. That's exactly what I was talking about with Chris Young and Mike Lowell. Of course, Mike, former World Series MVP. CY was an All-Star years ago. And I said, you know, the last couple of years, they have been the sexy pick in both 2022 and 2023, the Jays to win the division and perhaps win the World Series. And now nobody is picking them. J-Mac, I don't know one person who is saying the Jays win the division or the Jays make a deep run. Everyone says, okay, they'll be in the playoff mix. What does that mean? 86 to 90 wins, okay. But nobody thinks of the trendy pick. So the reasons for that are because they've underachieved the last couple of seasons. Even last year when they get in, you go, they're going to beat the Twins, for God's sakes. Twins win the Central, and then Minnesota takes care of business. Royce Lewis, who I love, took Gosman deep twice, and Pablo Lopez is obviously a stud. So I think, like most people, I look at the Blue Jays and say they're a playoff team. A year ago, they were 89-73. I think they're a 90-win team this year.
Okay.
But nobody's picking them to win the division, including myself. You know, the Orioles won 101 games a year ago. Pecota projections has them at 87. I don't think they drop off 14 wins, especially when you add an ace like Corbin Burns, but maybe they're not 101. The Rays won 99 a year ago. Again, they've got some significant pitching issues. Jim McClanahan's out due to Tommy John. Drew Rasmussen out till July. Jeffrey Springs out till May. Taj Bradley on the shelf. So I don't think the Rays win 99 games as good as their offense is. So do I think the Orioles and Rays come back down to earth a little bit? Yeah. But I think the Yankees are better. They were 82 wins a year ago. I think they're 92 wins now. I think if Judge stays healthy, Soto's a beast. Stroman steps up. Rodon gets better. Cole back in June. So it's tricky. The problem for Toronto is the division never gets easier. As I mentioned, two upstarts in Baltimore and Tampa, if they fall back a little bit, well, the other beast, the Yankees, would be better. And by the way, the Red Sox, they're still a 75-win team. Like, they're the worst team in the division, and they can still flirt with 500. Ultimately, I think for Toronto, the time to win is now. You know, it's this year and next year, because Bo and Vlad, both those guys, will be free agents after next season. They have not won a postseason game since 2016. Think about that. As much talk as you and I and everybody else has said around these young baby Blue Jays, they haven't won a postseason game since 2016. That has got to change this year.
2016, that's 8 years ago. Do you remember what you were doing 8 years ago?
Good question. I don't even recognize myself. I saw myself 8 years ago. You're right. The world has changed. It feels like 8 years. Think about that. That's pre-COVID, pre-Trump being president. I don't even recognize what was
that,
happening
like
right
8 years
now. That's
ago.
How long ago it's been.
Like 8 years ago, if we're talking playoffs, that's literally like just before Donald Trump becomes president. That's how close that was.
Oh, my God. It's such a topsy-turvy world. It's startling to think about how long it's been. And I think part of the frustration, by the way, for the Jays and why people aren't picking them is because they didn't make any seismic moves.
Yeah.
They were in on Ohtani, offered $600 million, and he gets $100 million more by the Dodgers. And rather than allocate that money elsewhere, they go, let's send Justin Turner, 1 year, $13 million. Now, listen, Justin Turner hit over 20 home runs last year, right? Drove in 90. Like, I think he's a good hitter. He's batting cleanup for them. But he's not Ohtani. Kiermaier re-signs, 1 year, 10.5. Okay. And then Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He tokes over at third base, good glove man, 2 years, $15 million, but he does not hit much. So I think back to your overarching point about Toronto, no one's picked him because they didn't do a whole lot. They have to hope that intrinsically Springer has a much better season. Varsho has a much better season. Kirk has a much better season. I think everybody would look at their starting pitching and say, that's a strength, of course. Once Gosman gets back healthy, him, Berrios, Bassett, Kikuchi, that quartet is pretty good.
Okay. So in the AL East, I know you kind of hyped up the Yankees, but what about the Orioles? Like, they're up 5-1 right now. They're 7-1 right now up on the Los Angeles Angels. It's funny. They started with that Mike Trout home run, and it has just been nothing but Baltimore ever since. But those guys are stacked with the young talent that they have, and they are well above schedule from where they're supposed to be, thanks to guys like Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman.
I agree. I think everyone said they're going to get better. They'll get to 500. I mean, last year, 101 wins blew the doors off what anyone's expectations were going to be. And so this season, you go, okay, is there a little bit of regression? Like, it's tough to get to 101 again. And yet, as you mentioned, those young players, you know, I was saying Gunnar Henderson could be an MVP candidate. And I looked it up. The last Baltimore Oriole to win Rookie of the Year in his first season and MVP his second season, also in the World Series, that person would be Cal Ripken Jr.
Of course.
So, like, that's the kind of hype around a guy like Gunnar, what he can do. Rutschman's 26 years of age. Since he debuted May 21st, only six players have a higher WAR than him. They've got a phenom in Jackson Holliday, number one prospect in baseball. He didn't even make the team. 20 years of age, he hit well this spring. He's in AAA because they have the likes of Mateo and Urias and Westbrook manning second and third base. So it's a new ownership group now. Baltimore native David Rubenstein taking over as the majority owner from the Angelos family. You know, Peter Angelos just passed away last week in the age of 94. He purchased the team back in 93. And one of the final moves the Angelos family did was securing a 30-year lease to the O's at Camden Yards. So I adore that ballpark. It might be my favorite, Julian, in all of baseball. I love going to Baltimore for the Crab Cakes in Inner Harbor. And that park, it's just such a great balance of old and new and that retro feel. To them, listen, to your point about the jumps they've made, 52 wins in 2021. 83 wins to 101 over the past three seasons. When you're increasing a win total of almost 50 wins over the course of three seasons, that's insane. And, you know, they have not won back-to-back AL East divisions. First time in half a century is what they're trying to do. You know, they're trying to do what they did back in 73 and 74. I still like them to win the division, and I think they've got a plethora of young talent. Now, one thing I will say about Corbin Burns, 29 years of age, he'll be a free agent after this season. Mm-hmm. I do think it's going to be a challenge going from the NL Central to the AL East. That is much better offenses he's going to be facing, but they needed an ace. And there's no question Burns has been an ace in his career. One other concern for me, bullpen. Bautista was a mountain among men last year. He's going to miss the year due to Tommy John surgery. Craig Kimbrell will close. Kimbrell is a future Hall of Famer, but he's awfully streaky. When he's rolling, he looks great. And when he's not, he's in trouble. So I like Baltimore. I do think they get 101 wins as a year ago, but if they get 91 wins, I think that's still awfully good. They are going to be a team in the playoffs.
You touched on the Philadelphia Phillies, and you seem high on them. You think they are the World Series pick. Who do you think they play in the World Series later this year?
Well, that's where it gets tricky. I know I'd love to see Baltimore, so I'll pick them. Because Phillies-Orioles, to me, would be fascinating because, you know, it would be a rematch of the World Series from 83, plus wouldn't have to fly anywhere. So now I'm thinking very selfishly. I could just drive between Baltimore and Philadelphia, but I think you'd have two incredible fan bases. You know, Philly at least was one relatively recently, but Baltimore hasn't won since 83. It's been a while. I do think, though, what I learned from Arizona a year ago, J-Mac, is that a team can win and make some noise. And this may sound crazy to you, but the Minnesota Twins had 87 wins a season ago. Now, they lose Sonny Gray, who was a Cy Young runner-up. But ultimately, they're a team that, if healthy, they can do some damage. Like Byron Buxton, if he actually plays 120 games, is an incredible talent. Carlos Cramp, he's healthy, can bang. Royce Lewis is one of the great guys in the game. He can hit you 30 home runs. Pablo Lopez might win a Cy Young. He's incredible for the Twins. And Rocco Baldelli is as good as it gets. I look at a team like that and go, okay, if Arizona can do it, Minnesota could win 86 games, win the division, a couple of upsets, all of a sudden they're in the World Series. So my formal prediction would be Orioles, Phillies, but just to take a look at last year, neither of those teams won the division, and yet the Rangers beat the D-backs in the World Series. You don't have to win the division to be a juggernaut and to make some damage. So maybe a real dark horse of the Twins. I do think in the East it's going to be Yankees and O's. Jays hopefully get a playoff spot. And the West is really fascinating. Mm. Rangers, Mariners, Astros. My real bold prediction is the Astros don't make the playoffs. I've got concerns about their starting pitching. Yeah, Verlander is not starting the season with the team. Hunter Brown has to step up as their number three. Framber Valdez is obviously very good, but Christian Javier was terrible in the second half. Blanco, I'm not crazy about. So, like, they've got some issues. Urquidy is out. McCullers is out. Garcia is out. So, I do think the starting pitching takes a step back. Obviously, Tucker, Yordan, those guys are great. Bregman, though, free agent after this season. And the bullpen, the back end is amazing because they signed Josh Hader. and you've got him and Preston Abreu. But I do think that's a tough division, man. Mariners' quartet of pitching is amazing. Their top four is great. Maybe not enough offense, but I think the defending champion Rangers win that division this season. I got a Houston on the outside looking in.
Cam, I don't think we've given enough gravitas to that bold prediction. Can you play one of the bombs we got on the soundboard over here? That's pretty bold. That's a bold prediction from Adnan Virk, everybody. Woof. Jeez. Yes, the Houston Astros on the outside looking in, according to our good friend Adnan Virk here on Sportsnet 960. I have a movie question, because I know we like to talk some baseball and talk some sports, but you are the host of the Cinephile podcast, and you like to fancy yourself a movie or two. I would love to know your opinion on the upcoming Amy Winehouse biopic. I'm starting to see some trailers about it, and some people are kind of, they're not really sure about what's going on. I would love to know if you've been tapped in on that, and if you're going to be watching that biopic.
Yeah, I will be for sure, Julian. I've seen the trailer just as you have. As a matter of fact, I went and saw a movie the other day called Love Lies Bleeding, and they were playing the trailer before. There's like posters for it afterwards. So, listen, Amy Winehouse was an incredible talent, and you know who doesn't love the song Rehab and Back to Black? And you know, did not have a long career, but certainly was very impactful what she was able to do. And for now, getting the biopic treatment, I'm really curious. You know, with these types of movies, you know, you really have to be able to nail the acting and the casting. And so, the first challenge becomes, do you get somebody that everybody knows, or do you just go with a relative unknown with someone who's going to become somebody known after playing the movie? So I think they probably did the right aspect of this in taking Marissa Abella, who's someone I don't know, and they're going to have her play Amy Winehouse, right? It's no right answer. Like, you can have a movie like Walk the Line, which have two major stars, Joaquin Phoenix playing Johnny Cash and Reese Witherspoon playing June Carter Cash, and they both knocked it out of the park. They're both phenomenal. Of course, Reese won the Oscar for it. But I do think it's harder to take an established team and have them play them rather than take an unknown. Because at least in the unknown, you say, okay, there's no preconceived notions coming in. I don't know Marissa Abella. So if she can play Amy Winehouse, I'm going to buy her in that role and I find her completely convincing. So Back to Black is the name of the movie. It's coming out, I believe, in the UK April 12th. It'll be here, a stateside, at least in America and Canada, May 17th. So I'm curious, man. Like I said, great talent. And Chris, the movie will unfold. It's directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. He's a Nowhere Boy, 50 Shades of Grey. So Back to Black. I'm in, just as you are.
Look, we're all in on back to Black. Sorry, wow. English. Man, this show has just been flying by. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, Adnan. Really appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the rest of opening day. We will talk to you next week.
Jim Mack, I appreciate it. Where's our buddy Logo right now? Vacation?
Logo, so there's been some shuffling around, maybe some vacationing. He is actually going to be co-hosting the next show that happens after us called Flames Talk. Apparently, it's a big deal in this market.
Pat Steinberg, is he along for the ride?
Yes, Pat Steinberg is in. It's Logo and Pat Steinberg for that show. They're coming on next after Sportsnet Today is done.
Well, I've never said this to you. I've said to my buddy Ryan Russillo, but solo radio is as tough as it gets. Trust me, I've done play-by-play, I've hosted shows, I've done radio, what you name it. Solo radio is such a challenge, my friend, so kudos to you. The reason why, for those listening and wondering why it's so hard, is essentially you're having a conversation with yourself. You literally make a point, and then you argue with yourself, and then you play some sound, and you argue with that. Like, you have to build a frame of thought. Anybody who thinks it's easy, try having a conversation right now in the mirror for 12 minutes and entertain yourselves. That's what Julian McKenzie is doing today, so props to you, my friend. Solo radio, not an easy thing. Get after it.
I need the production team to clip that. I got to give it up to Cam and Shan. Shan's actually been in studio, been chiming in every now and again, but it has been mostly me. But I need that clip. Thank you so much, Adnan. You are the best.
You too, man. And by the way, that is helpful. The producer that is able to jump in, that is something you did not have years ago. Yeah. Before the producers would just stay quiet. I'm like, hey, buddy, jump in here. Solo show. Come on, man. Give me a little blow.
Yeah,
I like it.
No way.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Adnan Virk, from MLB Network and the Cinephile podcast, showing love, throwing the flowers. We got to give him his flowers, man. Adnan is the man. The fact that he was willing to do this on opening day, works at MLB Network. He's a busy dude. He's got a lot going on. Dude should be having lunches with Bob Costas.
Which he does.
Or some really big name director. He's had Alexandre Ophélie on one of his podcasts. Barry Sonnenfeld as well. I'm sure Steven Spielberg. He has his number on speed. He could find a way to get to Steven Spielberg. That's how good he is. But the fact that he's willing to give us the time of day on Thursday. I mean, we know that's his regular segment, but today is a really busy day because it's MLB opening day. Thank you, Adnan.
He was not lying, by the way. Like we were talking about getting him on. He's like, well, I'm doing this, I'm hosting this show, and then there might be like a 10-minute break. I was like, hey, he's like, don't worry about it, Adnan. We'll get to you next week. He's like, Shan, it's opening day. I'm coming on. I was like,
dude,
yes.
Speaking of which, opening day, the Toronto Blue Jays up. They're down 1-0 against the Tampa Bay Rays. Jose Berrios is up. Last I checked, he had like 4 strikeouts. He's settled down after allowing
the
leadoff solo shot from Yandy Diaz in the first. He's in there. It's just the Jays offense has to pick it up at some point. It's still the bottom of the third.
Hopefully this year.
Yeah. 5 strikeouts just now as we were talking. Jose Berrios, he got it. He got it. He do an eye for himself.
That Astros pick from Adnan, ooh, that was spicy. Because they remind me of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're always there.
Yeah.
They're always there. And then it's like, how'd they get this guy? How'd they do it?
That's it. Like this, it's just all of a sudden it's like, oh, you look around, up, oh, Justin Verlander's back.
They were inevitable, pretty much.
Yeah, they're like Thanos.
Yeah.
They're sort of like Thanos. But yeah, I think there are a lot of baseball fans who won't be too upset if the Houston Astros miss the playoffs. Yandy Diaz back at the dish for Tampa as the top of the order, back up again for the Tampa Bay Rays. We have about 11 minutes here. Are we allowed to just kind of go back to the text line, maybe delve in on one more question for Thryday?
For sure.
The Thryday DMs. Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got one here, no name. With the Flames' love of Russians lately, we all know they've brought an influx of Russians. Any chance they eye Ivan Demidov at the draft or maybe another Russian prospect?
If he falls that far.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
Like, Ivan Demidov, what he's been able to do in Russia with the points he's been able to put up, like, that's a guy who's probably gone in the top 5 this year.
He could go 2 or 3.
He could be top 3 this year. So if he falls, maybe it's something a la like what Matvei Michkov went through last year. I would be very surprised if it got to that point. I don't see. I mean, hey, if the Flames are going to be able to take him. I don't see that happening.
This is another one that goes a while back from our guy Danny Cochran. When we talked about Dustin Wolf.
Yes.
I don't understand how nobody has ever whispered that Shesterkin might be small at 6'1". But when you take 1 inch away, he's too short. Full stop at 6 feet. I'm confused. Where is the middle ground on that?
I don't know where the middle ground is. But yeah, he's 6'1", 179, 180. But the track record's there for him, and he's one of the best goalies in the league. I know this year been a little difficult, but he's getting his game back. And look where the Rangers are in the standings in the Eastern Conference. I don't know. We do kind, but to their point, there is kind of a wow, the phrase escapes me. Where you move the, not the pedestal, but like the,
I'm offering zero help right now.
I don't know. I had a complete thought in my head about like what exactly, how to perfectly describe this, but like I just don't have it.
You're moving the goalposts.
There we go. Moving the goalposts. Drop one of the bombs right here for yourself, man.
If anybody needs a day off, it's Cameron.
You could probably add me to that, too.
I knew that.
But no, the moving of the goalposts, there is a bit of that when we look at the size of goaltenders, I guess. I don't know. It just for whatever reason in this market with Dustin Wolf, because he's only 6 feet, because goaltenders are not that small anymore, it's, well, I don't know, man. He's got to find a way to get through that when he's already won at almost every other level that he's been at. And it can work. Literally, we mentioned this earlier. UC Saros smaller. And he's really good. He's making it work. You can make it work at that size, at the position in the National Hockey League. I get it. You probably want bigger guys. It's trending that way. But you can have smaller goalies make it work for you in the NHL. It can happen.
I'm going to throw one your way.
Sure.
We can wrap up with this.
We can.
I want to hear your Stanley Cup final predictions. Winner, finalist, who's making it?
I'm going to say the Colorado Avalanche are coming out of the Western Conference. As much as I did say, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights look real good, the fact that I have the second chance to switch up the narrative a little bit, Colorado comes out of the West.
Imagine if they get Landeskog back.
I'm not counting on it. They might not need him.
It's true. McKinnon's essentially worth like 4 players at this point.
Dude,
that guy is playing on a complete different level.
If you ask me to vote for who's MVP, I think I'm picking him.
Yeah.
It's him or Kucherov for me.
Because Matthews was pushing 70 goals. He slowed down a little bit. I'm not saying he's on some goal drought. He's still scoring, but
ooh, sorry, not to interrupt you here, but George Springer has just hit a solo
Springer
shot.
Springer dinger.
Oof. Tie game in Tampa Bay, lead off in the top of the fourth.
They scored.
George Springer just hit his first dinger of the season. No doubt about that. Sorry. Like, literally, I saw that go through and I had to do a oof. Jeez.
Offense is back. That's their first hit of the game.
Yes, that is their first hit of the game. And it came in the fourth inning. And number four, George Springer, is the one to provide that offense. From the Eastern Conference, I think Florida might be that team.
They're scary.
They look real scary. I think it's Colorado, Florida. We get a 1996 Cup rematch.
Yes.
Colorado, Florida is going to be Nathan MacKinnon versus Matthew Tkachuk. Winner gets to eat whatever they want.
That's when, is that when the defenseman who had like two career goals scored from the point to win the Stanley Cup?
I don't know how many goals Uwe Krupp has had in his career, but Uwe Krupp is the guy who scored the game-winning goal to win Colorado their first Stanley Cup in 1996. Who would have thought Colorado-Florida, a Stanley Cup matchup in 1996 when Colorado just moving there from Quebec City and Florida being Florida?
He in the regular season, he played 729 games, 69 goals. And then playoffs, played 81 games, he had 6 playoff goals. So it's a pretty good time to score one.
Was this before or after? Actually, no. This is before or after Ariana Grande would sing at Panthers games and be on the Zamboni?
Oh, my. That's a great question.
That is a fantastic question we need to look into. Colorado, Florida is my Stanley Cup pick. That is my pick. Do you have a Stanley Cup final pick?
I said Dallas, Carolina before the year. Dallas.
That's still very plausible.
It is.
You should stand on business with that.
And I probably will. The only thing is that I can't believe is that Jake Oettinger's looking a little shaky.
Yeah.
And I never would have, he was my Vezina pick before.
Goalies are weird, man. You think they're the guy. I mean, look, Igor Shesterkin needed some time to get his game going, and it's actually, I think, that game against Calgary where his game kind of picked up. Goalies are weird, man, but if they come through for you at the right time, anything is possible.
Also, Ariana Grande sang the Star Spangled Banner January 16th, 2002.
Okay, so that was well
she was probably born in 96.
That would make sense.
Probably wasn't singing at that time.
Yeah, I mean, we probably wouldn't know about the talent at that point, but no. Ariana Grande is a very talented person. 2:55 here. We are minutes away from Flames talk with Logan Gordon and Pat Steinberg. That's why I've been able to hold down the show for the last 2 hours, because Logan Gordon has been holding down the fort alongside Pat Steinberg on Flames talk. After Flames Talk, we get to the pregame show at 5 o'clock here on Sportsnet 960. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, Dustin Wolf in net for the Calgary Flames against the St. Louis Blues. You can listen to that game here. Love it. You can listen to that game here on Sportsnet 960. Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson will have the call. We managed to get through the show without anything breaking.
You killed it, as always.
Yeah, I did my best. I try my absolute best. You killed it as well. I'm going to stay on cloud nine after Adnan's very kind words to end off our segment. If you want to listen back to our show, the 2 hours should be, once this hour's up, the second hour will be. But you can listen back up on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to podcasts to catch up on whatever you might have missed here on Sportsnet today. No show for us tomorrow with a Good Friday, so we'll be back next week with more great content here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Thank you so much, Shan. Thank you so much, Cam and Connor. I'm Julian McKenzie. Thank you so much for tapping in for these last 2 hours here on Sportsnet today. We'll be back next week with more shows. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.